This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome back to Outspoken. Now, we have had a bit of a change of scenery. We are recording this from our new HQ, which is upstairs in my house, in my office.
Yeah, yes. It appears that there was a final straw last week at my house when the neighbour decided to pressure hose her lawn for some absurd reason. So I'm not surprised that you guys wanted to move the podcast equipment.
I think the listeners are probably sick to death of that dog barking in the background. So hopefully there'll be nothing like that happening here.
And Sophie's is locked outside, so we won't hear Archie interrupting either, which is good news.
Now, I've put on a bit of a spread for you guys. I've got some Kit Kats here, your favourite cups of tea. I'm pulling out all the stops to impress you at the moment.
Do you have anything sugar-free?
Well, no, I don't, Amy. I mean, you can go and have a bit of grass from outside if that will suffice.
Well, despite the move, we all actually had quite an exciting weekend because it was our first event after the lockdown in Adelaide.
Yeah, it was so weird. I felt weird not wearing activewear out. So I actually had a dress on.
Well, this was at a wedding. So I'm glad that you weren't wearing activewear. That's a positive thing.
And probably one of the hardest things was that I actually had to fake tan for the event. And that was a real grueling process for me. I forgot how uncomfortable it can be. But it was a lot of fun to get dressed up. And it was kind of weird, though, because you're not allowed to dance in Adelaide and I suppose in all states in Australia. So they had a DJ going, but everyone was kind of having to dance in their chair.
Well, it seems that because there was no dancing, all that was left to do for our boyfriends, Kate, were to them to drink all night.
Yeah, it was quite funny. I think Reese has realised that he's approaching 30 pretty quickly now because he has had a two-day hangover. And I do feel sorry for him, but it's quite entertaining because Amy, Sophie and I, we all don't really drink. So, and everyone's always like, why don't you drink? And I remember having a hangover after our best friend's hen's party like 3 years ago. And I haven't drunk since. And I now kind of feel for Reese, but at the same time, I'm like, well, I told you.
Yeah, but this hangover was next level because you said in the middle of the night, you woke up to what was a scream.
Oh, he's not going to be happy with me. Yeah, he kind of like screamed whilst he was vomiting. And I was like, are you okay? So yeah, it was quite funny.
We're talking about weddings. Did anyone see Tara from The Bachelor's recent wedding?
Oh my gosh, I loved this so much. I didn't actually even know she was engaged because obviously she got engaged on Bachelor in Paradise a couple of years ago and that actually ended really badly. So it's really good to see her happy. But I think what I loved most was the fact that she served up McDonald's as her main meal.
My old boss actually did that. She had, I think, 100 hamburgers delivered to the event right on 12 o'clock. And that's exactly when you need a dirty McDonald's burger.
I think it's a cool idea. I think some of the older people might not be into it, but I think who doesn't love McDonald's?
I've actually been to some weddings where they have food vans instead of like the old school servers. And that's really good.
Oh, that gives me an idea. Not that I'm engaged, but at my wedding, I think I should have sombreros. I think that would be very fitting.
Well, we are going to put a thread in our Facebook community to find out what you guys have had at your wedding or either your friend's wedding. If there's any out there food, desserts, we'd love to hear it. Love to get some ideas.
Not that any of us are engaged, but
just putting the feelers out there for, you know, it to happen one day.
All right, guys, it's Mitch and I'm back with my girlfriend Chloe and her best friend Shani.
It's the reunion 2020 was desperately crying out for. YouTube royalty Shani Grimmon and Chloe Zepp have reunited after a two-year feud. Instagram was sent into meltdown after Chloe's partner Mitchell Orville shared a photo of Shani meeting their baby for the first time. Now, Kate, just how big was this reunion and how did you feel about it?
Well, I was sent this multiple times and I was actually genuinely excited to see this pair back together. We have spoken about how we think Shani Grimmon is back in a big way and I think her reuniting with Chloe Zepp is a part of that. It's like the old Shani is back.
It definitely does. And to prepare for this segment, I did a little bit of research, a bit of a trip down memory lane, and it made me feel really nostalgic going through some of the old videos of Shani and Chloe. It's crazy to think that we actually met Chloe back in 2012, and that was in Shani's first ever video. And it was a video where she used Chloe as a model to put makeup on her. Have you guys seen the video?
Yeah, I actually do remember it. I remember re-watching it a few years ago now, and it's just crazy to see how young they actually were and how that's where it all started from.
Yeah, I wanted to go back and see what was it about them that captivated so many people. And it was really interesting because they first started off doing a lot of challenge videos. So whether it was an accent challenge or the Bean Boozled, all these crazy old ones that I'd forgotten about. And obviously from there, they then started to vlog, which is where they gained a lot of their popularity.
Do you guys think a lot of their popularity might have had something to do with the fact that they all had boyfriends? And, you know, like Chloe was going out with Mitchell Orville, who was, of course,
I don't think she was at the time. She's only 14.
She only started going out with him in 2016. I think it was because they were so raw and honest and open. I mean, Shani shared a lot about puberty and embarrassing sex stories. And
I kind of think they were your typical popular girls at school who then came across YouTube and had the confidence to actually put things out
I think it was Tumblr that they started on, and I'm assuming that what set them apart was the fact that they were willing to share all of this information about their life, and a lot of people maybe weren't doing that at the time.
I feel so old because I feel like I missed the whole Tumblr thing. We've got a cousin that's probably like 6 or 7 years younger, and he was all into Tumblr, but it seemed like it went off.
Well, there was a lot of social currency, I think, on Tumblr at the time, and that really set you apart as being quite popular at school if you were big on Tumblr.
I feel like it set people up for Instagram because it was all about resharing pretentious photos and videos.
Well, one thing that I loved about the old YouTube videos that Shani and Chloe had up was just the background of the videos. They kept having their perfumes on display.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so funny. Like, I don't know, it just took me back to that time.
And now they've got like full YouTube rooms at their houses that have perfect backdrops. It's funny how it changes into such a curated thing.
Yeah, well, I was interested to look into the fact that Chloe always seemed like a bit of a background character, and now she's kind of had this career trajectory where she's an influencer in her own right. And she started her YouTube channel 2 years after Shani, and in the video she said that Shani was her inspiration.
Oh, wow.
And it was pretty cute because there was a comment from Shani in underneath the video saying, "Go Chloe." So it's obvious that they were very supportive of each other from the start.
It is funny you say that she was somewhat of a background character, because 3 years ago when I was at Melbourne Airport, I actually spotted Shani and Chloe together, and I embarrassingly asked Chloe if she would take a photo of me and Shani. And now I feel like I would actually be fangirling Chloe more. For some reason, I feel like I relate more to her transformation, and I think she's just so cool and has achieved so much at such a young age. I think what I love about her also is her no fucks given attitude, but then she's also very zen at the same time.
Well, I think she really grew up a lot when she moved to Melbourne to be with Mitchell, and that was in 2016. And it's really interesting to look at because during that time, obviously being away from a best friend, a lot of speculation starts as to whether you're going to maintain that long distance friendship. And I feel sorry for the pair because they constantly had people speculating as to whether they were friends because they weren't posting with each other anymore.
Well, I think one good thing about being influencers for their friendship was that they got sent on a lot of brand trips together. So they had that special time where they could actually spend quality time together. But I mean, what friendship doesn't go through the difficulties when someone moves away? Like, our own best friend lives in Brisbane, and if people were to look at our Instagrams, they'd probably think we weren't friends anymore.
Well, it's pretty crazy to think because the pair
if anyone cared.
Oh, that's what I mean, like, no one cares. But
well, they have actually been friends since 2009, so over that time I suppose they've really grown and changed a lot, which is understandable.
So what actually happened? Because there has been rumors of a recent friendship breakdown, and then of course they seem to be back together, but what happened to cause this breakdown in the friendship?
Well, I suppose no one knows, because I think the classy thing about Shani and Chloe was that they kept it offline. I mean, of course there were a lot of rumors floating around.
They unfollowed each other.
Well, the infamous feud started back in early 2019 after Shani moved to Melbourne to be with her boyfriend at the time, Tommy. So it's rumored that Shani actually met Tommy while she and Jonathan were on a break.
Oh.
Yeah, I found that pretty crazy because there's this YouTuber who's friends with Michael Finch, and she's called Sheridan O'Malley. She doesn't have a large following, but she was spilling the tea on this rumored feud.
Okay, hang on. Let's just put it into context. Jonathan is Shani's ex-boyfriend, Jonathan Sauer, who is now dating Madison Woolley, and Michael Finch is a famous makeup vlogger that is best friends with Shani.
That's right.
Just because I know sometimes we talk about all these influencers and people are like, who are you talking about? So just for some context.
It's probably our mum at home. Like, who the hell are these people?
She's trying to draw like a mind map of where they all...
Yes, actually, maybe we should make a map and put it online.
Let's make one.
How everyone's connected.
So basically, Shani and Jonathan, their relationship ended in late 2018. And we all know that Shani had the infamous breakup video.
Well, two breakup videos.
She had her first breakup video, changed her mind, got back with Jonathan, and then they were rumored to kind of separate for some time. In between that time, she supposedly met Tommy. So Tommy was the housemate of Chloe and Mitchell, and
he's also a ex-AFL player.
That's right. And Chloe and Mitchell were signed to his influencer agency, Zoot, which they are no longer a part of. And Mitchell Orville, his family is very much into football, so that's how the connection also with Tommy happened.
Well, of course, his dad is Angry Dad, who is a former AFL player, and his brothers have also played AFL. And they live in Melbourne, so very connected.
Now, this YouTuber, Sheridan O'Malley, she put up a video claiming, as I said, that she's friends with Michael Finch. And apparently the word is that Tommy was cheating on Shani and Chloe knew about it. So allegedly Chloe confronted Tommy about the rumors, but Shani told her to stay out of it and was very angry that she got involved. And because she just moved to Melbourne to be with him, she kind of didn't want to hear about it.
And I suppose when you're young, there are a lot of those sort of things like, oh, we're not exclusive and, you know, they're long distance. I'm sure there are a lot of excuses being made.
Well, I heard a slightly different rumor that Tommy was actually seeing other girls when he and Shani were talking and Chloe let Shani know once they'd gotten together.
Yeah, well, because Chloe and Mitch and Tommy all lived together, so... Yeah. The rumor was that he was bringing girls back to the place and they knew of it but didn't mention it to Shani, which is a really awkward position to be in, because you never want to be the person that is telling someone bad news, because often that person then turns it on you.
Well, this influencer, Sheridan O'Malley, who put out the video, she claims that Chloe and Mitch actually did tell Shani and also sat her down and said, you've got to break up with this guy. He's bad news. So as we say, these are all rumors. I think Chloe and Mitch would really want the best for her. The other rumor floating around is to do with activewear. Chloe brought out her own activewear line called Zep. And just as this was about to come out, Shani got signed as an ambassador to Gymshark. So it said that this caused a lot of tension between the two of them.
That is a tough one, because I know those Gymshark ambassadorships are very lucrative, but then if your best friend's bringing out activewear and you can't even promote it, that creates so many issues.
Well, this is off the back of Chloe promoting Shani's swimwear line.
Mm. Well, that being said though, did Shani not get Chloe her career to begin with?
Oh, is sorry.
It's but, the chicken before
but,
the egg.
But is it getting someone's career, just having them feature in a few YouTube videos? Of course, that's going to get a lot of followers being someone's friend. We've seen that with influencer Lily Brown and her friendship with Michael Finch. But you've got to continue putting in the work. And as we said, Chloe's become more popular when she's kind of distanced herself from the Shani Grumman brand and become her own person.
Well, I just personally think that it's a business at the end of the day. I do think that it becomes difficult if you can't promote your friend's brand. But then at the same time, I feel like you should be a cheerleader for your friends when they become an ambassador as well. It's a tricky situation.
Well, what about Mitchell Orville's sister Hannah? Remember, she rocked up last week to see the baby and she was wearing a different activewear brand, and Mitchell put up an Insta story of her and he blacked out the brand. And in his vlog he said, next time you've got to be wearing Zep.
That's hilarious.
So if your own sister can't even wear your brand,
it might have been in the wash.
Well, all motives aside, because we've got to stress, they are just rumors that are floating around, we actually don't know what happened. But I feel like having a friendship breakdown in your early to mid-20s is kind of normal. I feel like every girl's been through it. And I think what's amazing about it is that they've actually come out of the other side and become friends again.
Well, that's where it gets really interesting, because Shani did announce her split from Tommy a couple of weeks ago. And since then, as we mentioned, a photo has emerged of Shani meeting Chloe's baby artist. Now, this has made the rumor a little bit stronger that it did have something to do with Tommy.
100%.
Yeah, and the timing is so interesting. And I feel like what is even more interesting that we sort of touched on earlier in the episode is the fact that this transformation of Shani, she seems to be going back to what she used to be like when she was at her peak of popularity, the real girl next door, relatable type. It kind of feels like Tommy was a part of her decline in popularity.
Well, I don't even know if it was necessary necessarily him. I feel like it was the fact that she moved away from her family, moved away from her friends. I mean, Michael Finch moved down to Brisbane basically to collaborate with her, and then she left and went to Melbourne. Yeah, like, on that side of things, that might have caused a bit of a friendship breakdown as well. So you're going through this difficult time, losing a lot of friends. Of course you're going to be down and upset and not want to share about your life.
But clearly Tommy didn't want to be involved in her content. And if she's in Melbourne just with Tommy, what the heck is she meant to post
about? But that's surprising in itself. He runs her management company. It would be in his best interest to be the videos and promote it. But he was all about sales. All those clothing hauls, I feel like, are down to his business making money from her.
But you say that, but people are pretty smart and they can clue on to when people are trying to piggyback off other people's fame. So I think that it's actually quite good he didn't force himself to be in the videos.
No, but we all wanted him. You want to see who Shani's boyfriend is. That's why everyone's loving Josh.
Insane. That when I was going through my trip down memory lane, I loved watching the videos of Shani and Jonathan. He was like a different person. I know we've touched on this before. He was so lovely in the videos, so cute.
It is interesting how those sorts of different relationships bring out elements of people. I was going to say, though, on the topic of Shani being in Melbourne, wasn't it just such a shame the fact that she was finally in Melbourne with her best friend Chloe and they weren't friends?
Well, that's what made the feud even more obvious, because you'd think that they'd be doing a lot together.
And then, of course, Chloe and Mitch moved to Brisbane, back to Chloe's hometown. And then it's quite funny how it's all worked out.
Can I ask you guys a question? What do you think of Sheridan O'Malley, the YouTuber who's apparently friends with Michael Finch? What do you think about her coming out and sort of spilling all this tea?
Well, she only has 1,000 subscribers, so it's not like she's a big-time influencer. It's clear she's trying to get clout by talking about this and aligning herself with these big-name influencers. I do think there's elements of truth to it. Apparently, she's a Bondi Sands ambassador and has been on a few trips and events with them, so
I'd be pissed off if I was Shani.
It's a bit of a stupid move, because we've seen how beneficial it is to roll around in those circles of influencers and how you too can become an influencer and gain a lot of money from those sorts of friendships. I'm wondering why she decided to do that.
She's probably been cut out of the friendship group.
And I think that juxtaposition that with the fact that Shani and Chloe kept quiet on YouTube and Instagram about the feud, it showed that they really had grown up, and it also showed how important their friendship is to one another as well. I mean, even the fact that Shani didn't do a big breakup video like she did with Jonathan, it shows how much they've grown up.
I do think that Shani has been quite classy about all of these sorts of things, and this will probably not be a video she'll be putting out.
I did a bit of digging, just to finish up on. I did some digging because I wanted to know when this friendship got back on track.
Because it's surely not she's just suddenly gone over and visited the baby.
No. Now, I looked on both of their pages to see when they started liking one another's photos again, and it happened in early August. Now, this was right at the end of Chloe's pregnancy, which made me think that maybe when you're friends with someone for so long and it's such an important moment in their life, becoming a mum, maybe it just made her put everything aside and just say, hey, this is enough. We don't want to miss out on these things anymore together.
Also, people's hormones are all over the place. You're feeling emotional. You're getting nostalgic. So that potentially could be what spurred it on.
She probably broke up with Tommy then reached out.
To be fair, Shani did say on her latest YouTube that they had been broken up for a few months.
Yeah, what's happened is they've broken up. She's gone to Chloe and said, oh my God, everything you said about him was correct, and they've bonded over it and they've forgiven each other. That is what makes sense.
I don't know, because on her recent video, she said that she's still working with Tommy and they're still great friends who chat all the time.
That's a PR response.
Do you know what I love? The fact that you can have this ongoing feud with the girl, there can be so many messages back and forth that kind of passive aggressive and rude, but as soon as someone says I'm sorry and I love you and blah blah blah, it's all forgiven.
Well, I for one am so excited to see if they do a video together again.
Oh, me definitely. Too well, it's sort of interesting to see how they fit back together, because as we said, Chloe has had such an evolution in the last few years. She's gone from being infamously filmed pissing at schoolies on the side of the road to now being like a spiritual earth mother.
Well, in saying that, Kate, when I was watching her first ever video, it was actually pretty cute because someone asked her about where she sees herself in the future. And this was 16-year-old Chloe said, oh, I really want to have a family right now.
Aww.
So it's something that she's always wanted to do.
Well, as we said, bring the videos on, because I have been loving seeing Shani vlogging with the new and improved Michael Finch, who is suddenly woke. So it's going to be very interesting to see how those three even all fit together.
Oh, and by the way, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E means you are. Y-O-U-R means you're.
You know, I can't believe I even thought of getting back together with you. We are so over.
Fine by me.
Now, let's get into our influencer rap. Kate, what's the first story?
Let's talk about Bella from The Bachelor. Now, it has been a big week for her, obviously having her heart broken on national television.
Her infamous line as well, can I leave now?
It was a very good question.
She dodged a bullet, for goodness sake. Oh, she's the lucky one.
She really did. Well, what I found most interesting was when she posted her kind of farewell to The Bachelor on Instagram, just how many blue ticks were among the comments. Now, I know the So Dramatic podcast has kind of portrayed her as only chasing blue tick boyfriends, but it seems to have gone across into her friendship group as well. So when I was having a little bit of a look at the comments, I was quite surprised how many famous people popped up. So former Miss Universe Tegan Martin wrote, "You handled it better than so many would have with a love heart." There was also former Big Brother contestant Tully Smythe commenting. Makeup guru and OG influencer Loz Curtis left a message. Jade Tunchi wrote, "I'm so proud of you, beautiful girl. You have so much love to give, and I know one day a very lucky guy is going to cherish that wholeheartedly and treat you the way you deserve. Love you." And Jade's boyfriend also commented, who has a blue tick. Steph Claire Smith wrote, "Handled well, Belle." And Bella responded, "Thank you, beautiful human." Love Island's Cassidy wrote, "Love you so much, B. So proud of you." Alex Nation also wrote a message. Connie from Maths.
God, it's everyone. I know. Star-studded lineup here.
I know. And there were also some people that had blue ticks that I kind of looked at that I don't know who they are. It's Tara Milktree and Isabel Mathers, but they both have 1.3 million followers. So I'm guessing a lot of people know who they are.
Now, how is she friends with all these people?
Well, she's also following Sammy Robinson and Sammy's following her back.
Isn't she also friends with Laura Byrne?
Yes, she's also friends with Laura Byrne. We just saw on the Life Uncut podcast Instagram that she will be appearing on their podcast. She has so many powerful friends.
Well, I heard Laura speaking on the Life Uncut podcast, and she said that she met Bella out at an influencer event. So I'm assuming, hearing those names, a lot of those girls are probably all at the same event, and that's how they've become friends. Well, she had a following before going on the show. That's why she was being invited to those events. She's now probably got what she wanted. She's cracked the 100,000 on Instagram. It's all worth it.
Oh, I mean, sorry, but like everyone always sort of likes to throw shit on people who go on The Bachelor for fame, but why the hell else are you going on there?
Yeah, you're not going on there to meet someone.
If you've seen the show, there's no way you're going on there thinking, I'm in this for love. No. You're thinking, I'm going to get a bit of a following.
Oh, good on her if that's her intention of going on there. She's probably going to have a great career out of it.
Mm. Well, another person with a blue tick that she has been spotted hanging around is Nathan, who was formerly on Ali's season of The Bachelorette and also Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh. So incestual.
Now, the pair was spotted out with Jade Tunchi and also Beck from Lockie's season of The Bachelor. The funniest thing is they're all matching. They're like color coordinated. They're all wearing white with then tinges of beige. And
was it a cheeky clothing sponsor or something?
Oh my gosh, sorry. That just cements the fact that they called the paparazzi. Who is going out dressed like that? If you're papped, you're normally papped, legitimately, if you're dressed like an absolute Darrow down at the shops. Like, these are people who know that the paparazzi are coming out.
So they're obviously not going to be dressed
in
trackies.
Yeah, but who's spotting Jade Tunchi? Like, of course, we know who she is being, that
demographic. Well, they're spotting Bella. They're not spotting Jade.
That was the funniest thing, because Jade actually posted the paparazzi photos and she said it was her first time being papped, but she was paying herself out because she kind of looks like she's trying to quickly catch up with the cool kids.
Now, let's get onto the next story. This one is about former Love Island star Shauna Phillips. Now, apparently she's rumored to be dating Jack Fincham, who was also on Love Island, but he was on Love Island Series 3 and he ended up winning the show with Danny Dyer.
I actually think they make a really good couple. It makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, I'm just happy that it's not a bloody scaffolder, because she didn't have much luck with them on the show.
No, well, what sparked all the rumors is that when Shauna was on Love Island, Jack actually tweeted saying he was keen to take her on a date, and now they have the same management. So Shauna's teased that they might be seeing each other now and then. So who knows what's going to happen, but I would love to see these two get together. The next story that's popped up in my newsfeed is about OG influencer Brittany Saunders. Now, Brittany went on an Insta story to call out a woman who had DM'd her saying, "Oh my gosh, you look good, but you need to lose weight, love." So she DM'd Brittany this after Brittany shared a photo of her in her latest swimwear collection. I actually thought this was amazing of Brittany to do.
The thing that I find most surprising about this is that the woman had her business linked to this Instagram account.
why on earth would you be calling out, one, anyone in the first place, but two, when your business is connected to it?
Well, Britney's not the only influencer to name and shame trolls. It seems to be quite a trend that's appearing, and I think it's one that's going to be sticking around for a while.
The thing is, I don't mind if people name and shame adults, but I have seen influencers in the past who've called out children, and I feel like it's got to be a case-by-case thing. I mean, you can't just call everybody out, because there are huge ramifications it could have for people's mental health.
Yeah, as you say, mental health is a huge one, but at the same time, if these influencers are being relentlessly trolled, how is their mental health? If their only power is of them calling this person out and making them accountable for their actions, I say go for it.
Yeah, well, so it's really hard to know who is who online. I mean, how do we know how old people are? Some 14-year-olds look about 20 years old.
Well, there was a case where Clementine Ford called out a schoolboy for harassing her, and I do think it is positive to sometimes call people out, but that in that instance, I don't feel like a 13-year-old boy really knows what he's doing on the internet. I mean, think about stupid shit you did when you were 13.
But think about the lesson that that's taught him, never to speak to another woman like that again.
No, there are a lot of extenuating situations.
Sometimes I feel like it's just better to privately message the person and say, hey, just let you know, I am a real person behind here, and that
that opens up a whole conversation back and forth where that person's so excited that they finally got your attention that they then just write back abuse.
Sometimes the safer thing to do is to post up the message that the individual sent, but to black out their name, because they're still getting the shock that their message is visible.
Well, in the case of Brittany Saunders, I think she did a really good job. As I said, I think it's just a tricky one. You can't just shame everybody because you don't know what the ramifications are going to be.
I like to have a cigarette on the toilet.
On the toilet.
I can't have a cigarette on the toilet. But the cigarette. I've formed a weird habit.
Is it when you're having a wee?
It could be either or.
A man labelled the Bondi Tinder creep has been sacked after vile, abusive messages he sent two women on the app were revealed online. A woman called Ebony Sanderson bravely took to Instagram to share the barrage of Snapchats and voice messages Thomas McKirk sent her, which sparked another woman to come forward. Now, Amy, can you talk us through what happened? Because it's rather disturbing.
Yeah, I was really disgusted by this story. So this poor woman, Ebony, she matched with this creep on Tinder, and they chatted for a little while, and he seemed completely normal, and his whole demeanor changed as soon as she refused to come over to his house and send photos. And when I say refused, she politely declined.
And when you say send photos, did you mean nudes?
Well, it really wasn't specified, but I'm assuming so. So he flipped when she said she couldn't come over to his house, and he sent some vile messages, one where he called her a disgusting fat pig.
Well, I think we need to actually insert the messages here, because I had read the article, and it wasn't until the messages were actually played out loud in his voice that it just sent chills down my spine.
This is the thing that I can't understand, how someone has the confidence to send a voicemail like that. It's disgusting.
And the arrogance
in
the message. So this is what the messages said.
Okay, enjoy your night. Don't want to waste any more time. Okay, well, you're actually a fat fucking pig. You know that? So thanks, you did waste my time. You're fucking ugly. Your ass looks okay. And you would have been one fuck. You would have been just one fuck. And that would have been it. Because you're a disgusting fat pig. Look, if you don't have issues if you call out someone for being the shit person. You're a piece of shit, and you're fat, and you're ugly, and you're ugly on the inside and the outside. And I say that to shit people. Good people are treat well. Anyway, look at my fucking face. I don't have struggle getting laid. I turned down a chick tonight. I choose not to masturbate. I choose not to come a lot. And look, you just called me hot 5 minutes ago saying you think I don't need to get laid. I don't struggle getting laid. You're right, I don't struggle getting laid. And I especially don't need a four like you to get laid.
What a vile, vile pig.
Well, I think he'll be struggling to get laid after these messages have been released.
It was such a contradiction, because he says how great he is and that he can get laid so easily, but then he's basically begging this woman to come over to his house, and when she politely declines the offer, he then goes nuts. And the only thing that comes to mind is calling her fat and ugly, because at the end of the day, that's all women are, either something to look at.
Okay, she was ugly on the inside as well, apparently, according to him.
Well, and a four.
Well, the worst thing was that she blocked him from Instagram and Snapchat after receiving these messages, and he went and created another account and continued to harass her online.
What is wrong with this man? Apparently he's not bothered, yet he has enough time to create a fake account.
Well, Ebony took to Instagram to out this guy, and so many other women have come forward.
Well, to be honest, I wasn't surprised, because I have been a member of the now defunct Abby Chatfield group, and the amount of women sharing the hideous things that men would say to them on dating apps just to get a laugh was so horrifying. I mean, it's bad enough having to go and put yourself out there on a dating app not to get trolled by dickhead men who were looking for a laugh.
But can you imagine how aggressive he would have been if she'd gone to his house as well? Like, that's terrifying that this monster is out there just objectifying women in this way as well.
Well, fortunately, there was a good thing to come out of this story, and that is that this guy's boss heard the voicemails, immediately identified him as his worker, and fired him.
Yeah, well, a number of the women contacted his boss, and I do want to give a shout out. His name is David Scott, and he sacked this guy within half an hour of hearing the voicemails.
May I ask what his job was? How was this individual employed in the first place?
Well, he worked at a logistics firm called Invenco, and apparently he'd only been there for 6 weeks.
Wow. Wow. There's obviously a lot of misplaced aggression going on. Not that that is an excuse, but it's quite scary that these men have the platforms to prey on women like this and to abuse them.
It is really disgusting. I just want to focus on his boss for a second, because I think this was a fantastic PR move by the business. He put out a statement and he said, "There is just no place in our workplace for someone who treats women with that amount of disrespect. I have four daughters aged between 10 months and 9 years old, so that was one of the first things I thought about, and my blood boiled to imagine someone ever speaking to one of my little girls like that." Because so many times you hear of people doing the wrong thing at work, and often the work just backs the man in the situation. So for someone to actually go, "Nah, this is not good enough," I think that is absolutely amazing.
Well, you juxtaposition that with the way the AFL completely protected someone like Wayne Carey after his string of domestic violence. I've got to say alleged domestic violence, but yeah.
Well, there's been a lot of backlash against Tinder, because a lot of people have said that they've complained and this man has been reported and he's still showing up in the app. But there's a lot of misinformation going on, because some people have said today that he's finally been banned. But do you guys think that the apps should do more to protect people from creeps like this?
It's really hard, I suppose, once the connection is made and then you move on to a completely new platform like Instagram. I mean, I wonder if there would be some sort of encrypting details that can be put in place so that abusive messages that contain swearing and abusive language can be vetted somewhat.
I mean, you could
on
meet...
Instagram, I mean.
It's really scary, because you could meet someone the old-fashioned way in a bar and not know that they're this sort of psychotic as well. So I think you've really got to trust your gut instinct sometimes with these people. And obviously she did so by turning him down.
But I do think that the app does have a responsibility for safety of its users. And if this man has been reported, he should be removed, because from what I understand, it is quite easy to get banned from Tinder. And I do think it is quite easy to get banned on Tinder.
It's funny you say that, because one of my good friends who's married, he decided to set up a Tinder profile just to see what it's like. And he is, his wife would have known, and he is the funniest guy. So he actually posted a photo of himself. I think it was in a little bow tie and a G-string.
Oh my gosh.
Got banned straight away. And then he tried to fight back. Abby Chatfield talks about constantly getting banned from it because people think she's pretending to be herself.
Well, I definitely think that there are obviously rules and procedures in place to deal with people like that. But I think that reporting someone, it does need to be taken seriously, and I'm glad that this creep is no longer on there.
Well, the other positive that's come out of the story is the message about power in numbers. So I love the fact that Ebony came forward and she spoke out about this guy, and then a lot of women came to her support. So one of those women was Clementine Ford, and she's been very vocal about Tom on her Instagram and also on her Facebook. And, you know, subsequently so many other women have come forward to tell their story. So I think it's an important lesson.
Well, I think it's incredibly brave that she put these messages out there about herself and stood up for herself. And I really hope we see more women doing this.
Well, that's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for listening. We do hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, we'd love if you could go and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And if you'd like to join our Facebook community, you can find us at Outspoken Podcast Community. We'll be putting up a thread from today's episode so you can join in and have your say on the topics we've been talking about.
Also, we'd love to see where you're listening to the podcast from. If it's on a walk or out at the beach or at a coffee, please take a photo and tag us and we will share your photo. We'll be right back.